Last month, San Francisco's city workers cleared a large tent encampment of homeless people on Division Street. The public health department had declared the area a public health hazard. The city offered beds at a new shelter at Pier 80, but many of the displaced tent residents simply moved their belongings to surrounding alleys, where conditions are arguably as unsafe as they were on Division Street. It's another suggestion that shelters are not a viable solution for everyone. So here's another experimental solution, tiny homes for the homeless. KLW's True Nguyen explains.
When I met Chris Terkilly, he and his husband were living in a tent under the overpass on Division Street in San Francisco.
For now, it is what it is, and I'm doing my best to, you know, like, keep it tidy and keep it as normalized as possible.
Before this, the two lived in an apartment in Novato. But problems with heroin addiction spiraled until they ended up on the streets. Here's Trokili's husband, Phoenix Garvey.
And honestly, that's the only thing, that's the main factor in us still being here. We'd love to be inside, we'd love to, you know, be doing the everyday drive, but it's our addiction, you know?
The young couple sat on a mattress that took up almost the entire space. On one side of the tent was a small shelf with toothbrushes, toothpaste, soap. In another corner, a milk crate served as a paper towel dispenser. Everything seemed to be in its proper place, but for a homeless person, that sense of security can be fragile. Just 2 days before, all their stuff had been stolen.
So literally everything you're looking at, we've gotten within the last 48 hours, literally from picking stuff up off the ground.
Without shelter and with only the clothes they were wearing, the two walked around that night until they found a blanket.
And we laid down in that alley and wrapped ourselves in the comforter.
After one night out in the open, they lucked out when a friend, another homeless person, gave them an old tent. Although he was grateful for that help, Trokili said getting involved with people can be a safety issue.
The homeless community is like, it almost seems like everybody knows everybody. Sometimes that could be a concern because, I mean, if one person knows that, say, you made $50 by helping out an old lady doing whatever, you know, like, next thing you know, your tent could be trashed.
Faced with theft, violence, and unsanitary conditions, Thurkili and his husband are the prime demographic for what many are calling a new solution to homelessness, tiny homes. You may have seen this idea being embraced by middle-class Americans, like on the TV show Tiny House Nation, now in its fourth season.
The average American home is 2,300 square feet, but lots of people are deciding that bigger isn't necessarily better, and they're choosing to live in homes that are just one-tenth the average size.
That's more like 200 square feet. Tiny homes being built for the homeless are generally under 100 square feet, about the size of a bathroom. Some are prefab using regular building supplies, and some are made from found materials, like old furniture, sheet metal, and wood pallets. And while the people on the TV show talk about downsizing from a big house, for someone literally living on the street, any structure with four walls and a door can be a real step up.
It's one idea in a set of tools in a toolbox.
Shirley Zane is a county supervisor in Sonoma. She's leading a pilot project to provide transitional housing using tiny homes built on public property.
The board thought it was a great idea, and the public thought it was a great idea.
Her office got more than 30 applications from developers interested in building the tiny homes through a public-private partnership.
We're looking at a very small space right now, and I think between 10 and 20, and not more than that.
There's actually a model for this type of thing. A permanent tiny home settlement called Dignity Village in Portland, Oregon, has been successfully housing homeless people since 2004. Sonoma's tiny homes will be within 30 feet of the Human Resources Department. Nearby bus lines can get you to downtown Santa Rosa in less than 15 minutes.
I think there are plenty of people who would rather live in a tiny home than live in a tent or live out on the streets.
She may be right, but not everyone can get behind the tiny home idea. Stacey Murphy has been developing housing programs for over 20 years. She's the Director of Strategic Initiatives at Abode Services in Oakland, a nonprofit housing and service provider.
If it's not permanent and if it's not stable, it's hard to see that as a long-term solution.
Murphy says when looking for solutions to homelessness, there's one critical thing to consider.
all of this takes place in the larger context of a fundamental lack of affordable housing at all affordability levels.
The National Low Income Housing Coalition notes that between 1976 and 2002, the U.S. housing and urban development's budget dropped by 59%. Since 1981, it has only risen above 2% once.
At the time that the U.S. government backed away from funding housing, homelessness didn't really exist as a problem. So they disinvested from housing. That's a shift.
Murphy says we often think of homelessness as a local problem because that's where we see it, on the streets. But the lack of housing is a national problem.
And so what you see then at the local level are cities and jurisdictions that are scrambling.
Is there a real and cost-effective solution to homelessness? Murphy says yes, and it's an approach called Housing First. Previously, it was assumed that people needed to be, quote, ready for housing before receiving it, meaning free of addiction or mental health issues, or already employed.
And what happens then is people spend a lot of time trying to manage the things that contribute to homelessness before they're in housing. Many years ago, a few sort of innovative providers realized that that was not the right way to think about the problem.
Housing itself is a form of healthcare, Murphy says. It wasn't until 1998 that San Francisco's Department of Public Health began providing permanent housing instead of only providing services to people living on the street.
And they put them immediately into permanent, stable, safe, affordable housing. And the results were dramatic.
From 2002 to 2005, the number of homeless people in San Francisco dropped by 28%. But the rising cost of real estate, combined with limited government funding, means that Housing First doesn't necessarily translate to people actually getting housed. From 2005 to 2015, the number of homeless people in San Francisco rose 7%.
I am concerned about the future of homelessness here in the Bay Area because as we see housing prices increasingly spiral, it's just, and the rental market is out of control. I don't know where folks are going to go.
After the city started clearing the tents on Division Street, Chris Dokili didn't know where he would go.
I think I'm going to go sit at a park and just meditate for a minute, clear my head, and figure out exactly what direction I want to go.
Unfortunately, this is a familiar feeling for him.
I mean, that's how the last 22 years of my 22 years of existence have been, you know, just second by second.
Homeless advocates like Stacey Murphy don't want to discourage creative solutions to homelessness, but she says we already know what works, permanent, stable housing. And tiny homes are not, it's that lack of permanent housing that keeps people like Chris Dokili on the street. I'm True Quinn for Cross Currents.